Jesus. Hallelujah.
We praise you, O Lord. We praise you, O Lord. I lift it up, O Lord. We love you. 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 I lift it up, O Lord. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. I lift it up.
Hallelujah. Give him another hand of praise tonight. Hallelujah. He's worthy of our praise. Amen. He's worthy of our praise tonight. Amen. God bless you. You also want to make sure, if you haven't already signed up for the marriage retreat, it's going to be April the 21st and 22nd. It's going to be in Huntsville at the Huntsville Space and Rocket Center at the Holiday Inn. If you haven't signed up for that, please see Brother Jerry Dickinson after church, and he'll be sure to get you signed up. And also, on April the 7th and 8th is the ladies' retreat for Alabama down at the district campgrounds. And you want to be sure to, if you're a lady tonight and have an interest in going to that, be sure to sign up for that. And everybody said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, smile real big at your neighbor. Hallelujah. And tell them, they be but a few of us here tonight. But we're going to preach with the preacher. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to say tonight that I appreciate what God is doing. I just appreciate being involved in this church, and I appreciate our good pastor and these young men that bring you water and all that good stuff. And but I appreciate our pastor. It's already been said tonight that I believe we've got, if not the best, well, let's just say that, because he is the best. Hallelujah. Amen. A great man of God, and it's just an honor and a privilege to have been here these many years and be involved in what God is doing right here. And it's an honor to be asked to preach, and I don't take it lightly. Amen. So I want to do what God wants. Hallelujah. And I do feel something on my heart tonight, and we'll just see what happens. We want to pray for our pastor and his wife as they travel this week. They are in a conference in California, and we want God to move upon that conference. And just lots of good things happen, and I just love him tonight. I just love him. Hallelujah. Do you love Jesus? Hallelujah. Do you really love Jesus? Hallelujah. Mighty God. Glad to be a part of the kingdom of God. I know it's not about me. It's about what God can do. Hallelujah. Amen. If you've got your Bibles and want to turn to Joshua chapter 24... I'm going to read a couple of scriptures here, and then I'm going to go to Romans and then to Matthew. The last chapter in the book of Joshua. And the 14th verse, 14th and 15th verse, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Somebody say, serve the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Won't you say that? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then in Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, the Bible says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. And then in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, the Bible said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. I want to read the sentence back in Joshua 24 and verse 15. And that second part of that first sentence where it said, choose you this day whom you will serve. And then the very last phrase of that verse said, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Why don't you lift your hands and love him and give him thanks for the word tonight. God, we thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost and fire. We thank you for the power of God that we feel in this service tonight. Lord, we ask you to move upon your word. Reach down and touch somebody in this house. Hallelujah. Let your Holy Ghost flow in this place. In the name of Jesus, give him another hand of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. You could be seated. Amen. Thank you, Sister Lindsay. God bless you. Hallelujah. You know, everywhere that we go in life, we are faced with choices. Somebody say choices. Some choices are easy to make, and others are a little more difficult to make. There was a story that I read of a husband and wife several years ago that prior to their marriage, they decided together, he said, that he would make all the major decisions and she would make all the minor decisions. And 20 years later, somebody asked him, how did this arrangement turn out? He said, it's turned out really great. He said, I've never had to make a major decision. We all have to make decisions. That's part of life, is choices. And I want to just talk to you for a little bit tonight about choices. Amen. Another little illustration here that I found that brings this point to home tonight was a farmer one day hired a man to do some work for him. He told him his first task was that he wanted him to paint the barn. He said that this should take about 3 days to complete. But the man finished the job in one day. So the farmer decided to give him another job. He said, I've got this pile of wood that needs to be cut, and this should take about 4 days. And so the man finished it in a day and a half. And the farmer was amazed at how the man was working. So the next task he gave him, he wanted him to sort out a big pile of potatoes. He said, I've got a lot of potatoes here that I need to separate into different piles. I've got one pile I want you to make for potatoes that I'm going to use to seed, to plant more potatoes. And he said, you need a pile here to, you know, sort them out. This is going to be for the hog. And then you've got another pile I want you to make that the potatoes that you see that are good enough to sell. So I want you to separate all the potatoes. And he told the man, he said, this shouldn't take very long. And so he came back at the end of the day and was amazed that the guy hadn't hardly even started. And he asked the question. He said, "What's the matter?" And the man said, "I can work hard, but I can't make decisions." Now that'll sink in just a minute to you. He was a hard worker, but he couldn't. Some of you are just not getting it. You'll laugh about halfway through the sermon tonight. If you know it, turn to your neighbor and tell them what the punchline is. Amen. We all have choices that we need to make in life. Choices are a big part of our life. Living in America gives us a privilege that we can be whatever we want to be. Do you believe that tonight? Amen. The freedoms that we enjoy in this land enables us to achieve what we can achieve in this natural life. It's our choice. This morning I was down in a business in Birmingham and a book on the table caught my attention. And so I picked the book up and began to thumb through it. And it was a book about leaders and movers and shakers of Birmingham and the history of Birmingham. And as I was flipping through the pages, I came across a name that looked familiar. And so I read the article. And in this article, it talked about a family, a husband and wife in 1908 by the name of Vincent and Teresa Bruno, that traveled from Italy to Birmingham in hope of a better life. Said by 1924, the demand for steel in Birmingham had begun to decline, and they had felt the pressure of their family. They had nine children, and so they sent their oldest son out to find work. And the article goes on to say that he found a job and a calling at the age of 12 when he started as a helper in a small neighborhood grocery store. As the depression wore on and the family sank deeper into trouble, Joe was able, as the young man's name was, he was able to convince his mother that they needed to start their own business to survive. And so he took the family's entire savings of $600, and he bought an 800-square-foot building that he named Bruno's Brothers Grocery. And the family was in business, and the rest is history. But let me tell you something. I said that because in America, there's opportunity that no other country can afford. There's no other country that can give you the opportunity that America can give you. Can somebody say amen? If you make the right choices, if you do the right thing, I believe in this life, in the natural I'm speaking of right now, you can achieve and become anything you want to become. I really do believe that tonight. I was listening to a news article today about landowners on the border with Mexico that were being sued because the illegal aliens were coming across the border and getting hurt on their fence and stumbling on their property and getting hurt. It was an illegal act, but yet they were able to sue the landowner and get money because they were breaking the law. And that can only happen in America. Can you say amen? The opportunity, the chance to be able to succeed because of choices that you make. Amen. And you have read story on top of story, how that folks have come over and with little of nothing, just pennies in their pocket, have been able to build empires and been able to do things that they had never dreamed of doing. Can you say amen? And I believe that if you work hard and you make the right choices, you can succeed in this life. Can somebody say amen tonight? Do you agree with that? I know sometimes we don't always make the right choices. If I were to go down the row of each one of these pews tonight and I was to give you the microphone and I was to ask you, give me an example of a choice you made that either was a good choice or a bad choice, and let us know what the outcome was. Amen. I believe that we could get some response. Do you believe that tonight? And some of us could probably be here a while because we've made a few choices that were wrong. And because of our wrong choices, we had circumstances that arose because of those choices. I've made stupid choices. You've made stupid choices. But yet choices are a big part of our life. Every one of us here today are decision makers. Look at your neighbor and say, you are a decision maker. You may have made bad choices in a financial deal or a relationship or a job, or you made the wrong career choice. And I don't know what kind of decisions that you've made. Some may be momentous and some may be minor, but every day you are faced with decisions. From the moment you wake up in the morning until you fall asleep at night, you are bombarded with options. What to wear and what to eat and where to go and what to say and what not to say, and wished you hadn't said it. Amen. Where to work, where to go to school, who to marry, who not to marry, how many children to have, how to raise the children that you have, how much to spend, how little to spend, and, you know, do you want fries with this, and do you want plastic or paper, or you know, the choices. We were going through a drive-thru the other day, I don't know, McDonald's or somewhere, and, you know, I thought they made those combo meals, you know, to where it would be easy to drive them and say, I want number 1, 2, 4, and 8. And that would be it. But the last time we went through, it was a big ordeal because they had a million questions about what we wanted with that, how we wanted this, how we wanted that. And I'm like, just give me a number 1. I don't want to make all these choices. Amen. But we make choices every day. Some choices don't carry a lot of weight, but some do. When I go to a restaurant, I don't like a lot of choices. My wife is constantly trying to get me to try new things, new dishes, new meals, new kinds of food. And I order the same thing. I know what I want to order when I go to Cracker Barrel, meatloaf. I know what I want to order when I go to Ruby Tuesday. You know, I don't like choices. I like to stick to something that works. Do you like to stick to something that works? Amen. But we have to make choices, and the choices that we make stay with us for a long, long time. Do you believe that tonight? In Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 7, the Bible said, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. And in Proverbs 12 and 24, the Bible said, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Another translation put it like this: the diligent find freedom in their work. The lazy are oppressed by their work. What kind of choices are you making? Have you ever heard anybody say, had I known it was going to turn out like this, I would not have done that? How many times have you said that? Had I known it was going to turn out like this, I wish I could go back and turn the clock back and make it different because of a choice that I made. Now, up until now, I've been talking to you about choices that you make in the natural. And, you know, and a lot of times, you know, with the exception of maybe some financial choices and the choices of your spouse and, you know, the choice of your job, you know, most choices really don't matter a lot. It's just things that you have to do in life, choices you have to make. But I don't really want to talk about choices in the natural tonight, because it doesn't matter to me, amen, what kind of food you eat. It may matter to your body, but it doesn't matter to me. I don't really care where you go to school. I don't really care who you marry. I don't care if you want to be miserable all your life. Get married to who you want to get married to. Hallelujah. That's not what I'm here for tonight. But I want to talk to you about making choices in the kingdom of God. I want to talk to you about making choices that will be long lasting in your walk with God. Because there are some choices you can do without making and it really doesn't matter. But there's one choice tonight that you need to make, and that's you need to make a choice that you're going to live for God no matter what happens. Hallelujah. I don't really care what kind of choice you make in this life, but you need to make a choice when it comes to the things of God. I honestly believe that. Hallelujah. If you put God first in your life, I believe the Bible backs this up. If you seek God in His kingdom, then everything else will be added unto you. If you put God first in your life, if you put the kingdom of God first in your life, all the other decisions are easy to make. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's one choice that I cannot afford to get wrong. I want you to hear me tonight. There is one choice that I cannot afford to get wrong, because it has consequences that will last throughout eternity. Amen. And that choice is, am I going to live for God? Am I going to serve God? Am I going to stand for what is right? Hallelujah. Can somebody say praise the Lord? The other night when Brother Sutton had us come up and to these young people that were standing on the altar and give a word of encouragement, I walked up to one young man and I said this. I said, when you make up your mind to live for God, it doesn't matter what comes your way. It doesn't matter what you face. It doesn't matter the trial or the storm. It doesn't matter what comes. Amen. You can live for God if you've got a made up mind. Can somebody say praise the Lord? It doesn't matter what battle comes. And I looked at him and I said, it's hard to live for God. I said, at your age, sometimes it's hard. Because of pressure and because of influences and things around you. It is hard sometimes to do what's right. Hallelujah. But if you make your mind up, I'm going to serve the Lord. As Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If I have anything to do with it, if I have any breath in me, if I have any power left in me, amen, my house will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. And somebody stand tonight and say that with me. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. It's a decision that you gotta make. Can somebody say praise the Lord? When you make that choice, nothing can stop you. I believe that. Hallelujah. And I looked at that young man and I said, you know why I can tell you this tonight? You know why I can tell you that you can live for God? You know why I can tell you that you can serve the Lord? You know why I can tell you that you can go through your high school years and into college and into your early adulthood and get married and through all the circumstances and trials and troubles? You know how I can tell you that you can do it? I said, because you're looking at somebody that did it. Amen. Because I did it, I know you can do it. Hallelujah. Somebody worship the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and tell him, if I can live for God, you can live for God. Hallelujah. It's not a hard thing when you make up your mind. It's not a hard thing when you make a choice. You make a choice. I'm going to live for God. Hallelujah. At the beginning of the chapter, chapter 6 of the book of John, the Bible said that in verse 2, there was a great multitude. Somebody say great multitude. There was a great multitude, the Bible said, that followed Jesus because they saw the miracles that he performed, because they saw what he did. There was a multitude. a multitude. I don't know how many the multitude was, but in that chapter it talked about him feeding the 5,000. And as I pondered this, I thought, if there were 5,000 men, maybe all of them had a wife. Maybe some of them didn't. But then maybe if they had a kid or two with them. I don't know, the crowd could have been 15 or 20,000 people, maybe. It was a multitude. I don't know how many it was. It was a lot. And they only sought him because of the loaves and fishes for what he can do for them. And then when the loaves and fishes run out, so did they. They ran out. Because in verse 66, the Bible says, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And that is when he turned to the 12 and he said, will you go away also? But I want you to notice here, at the beginning of this chapter, it talked about a multitude. It talked about a multitude, but at the end of the chapter, it only talked about 12. It went from a multitude to 12. It went from a crowd to 12. It went from a lot of people, a lot of disciples. And in the end, there was only 12 left. And he looked at the 12 and he said, will you go away also? And they looked at him, and I like what they said. Where are we going to go? Because you have the words to eternal life. Let me tell you something here tonight. There's a choice you need to make. And that choice is you need to live for God. Because let me tell you something. If you don't already know it, this is the way. This is the truth. And this is the life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. I don't want to turn away. I don't want to turn back. But I want to follow Jesus. Hallelujah. What will your answer be when he looks at you and says, will you? And he gives you the choice, or he gives you the decision, when he asks you, what are you going to do? Are you going to turn away as well? I'm going to say no. I'm going to stand, as Paul said, when you've done all to stand. He said, just stand. When you've done everything you know how to do, when you've went the length that you think you can go and you can hold on as long as you could hold on, then he said, just stand. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I'm not turning back. I said, I'm not turning back. Somebody say that. I'm not turning back. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what life throws your way. If you make up your mind, you can stand for him. I'm an apostolic, Pentecostal, all the way. I'm not ashamed of who I am. I'm not ashamed of where I am. I'm not ashamed of who I associate myself with. I'm not ashamed to be a tongue talker. I'm not ashamed to be a holy roller. I'm not ashamed to be a baptizer in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed because he set me free. If he sets you free, why don't you let him know it tonight? I'm not ashamed of him. My decision is to serve him with my whole heart. My decision is to serve him with my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength. He set me up on a solid rock, a sure foundation. He called me out to put his spirit in me, to wash me. Amen. The least I could do in return is to serve him with my whole heart. Somebody say whole heart. I want to serve him. Many are called, but few are chosen. What is your decision tonight? What is your choice tonight? What are you going to do with this thing called the kingdom of God? How are you going to relate to God? Amen. When he calls you and when he wants you to do something for him. Amen. When he calls you out to be something great in the kingdom of God. What is your answer going to be? Hallelujah, I want my answer to be yes. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. There were the three Hebrews, and you know the story. I don't have to go into it. But they faced a decision, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They faced a decision in response to King Nebuchadnezzar's demand to bow down to his idol and worship him, or they would be thrown in the fiery furnace. To them, the choice was clear. In Daniel 3 and 16, the Bible said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from this furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand. But if he doesn't, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not. Somebody say, I will not. I will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image with that which thou hast set up. And I was looking at this and I was thinking, how could they be so bold to make such a statement to the king? Let me tell you something, Brother Corey. I believe the matter was settled a long time before that day. The decision was made a long time before they faced that battle. You see, you don't need to wait till you face the battle to make a decision. Your decision needs to be made before you get there, so you'll know how to act when you get to the battle. Hallelujah. Can somebody say praise the Lord? The battle was actually won a long time ago. They had already committed themselves to God. And their faith and confidence in God and their laws and their God said, no, you can't have any other God before me. And the decision was made and the answer was given long before that day. Hallelujah. Public opinion and peer pressure may be against you, may be against what's right, but it doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what my mama says. It doesn't matter what my daddy says. Doesn't matter what my friends say. But what it matters is what the Word of God says. It's the decision that I've got to make. I need to stand. I'm not going to bow to this world. I'm not going to bow to the things of this life. But my mind is made up to serve God. Would you lift your hands and love Him for just a moment? Hallelujah. Sister Lindsay, would you come? I know this is simple tonight. Hallelujah. But I believe that somebody here tonight, you've been facing decisions in your life and you've pondered in your mind, what do I need to do? What's the right thing to do? If I have to stand alone, I will. I know I won't have to, but if I do, I'm prepared to stand alone. Through thick and thin, sink or swim, good times or bad times, mountains or valleys, peace or persecution, money or famine, sunshine or rain, I'm determined. In Joshua chapter 24, Joshua gives the people a choice. These were exciting times for Israel. They had defeated their enemies. They had claimed the promised land. And indeed, it was a land that flowed with milk and honey. Each of the tribes had received their inheritance. Now they could settle down and enjoy life a little. It was a time of hope, prosperity, and blessings. It was a time of hope, prosperity, and blessings. Are you blessed tonight? But it was also a very dangerous time for the people. It was the danger that they would soon forget where they came from, how they had gotten to where they were, and what the Lord had done for them. There was the danger that they would begin to adopt the idolatrous religions of the land that they had become a part of the Canaanites, and that they would fall into a place of complacency, a place where they might feel that they can let their guard down just a little bit. But in the midst of all of this that they were getting ready to enjoy in the promised land, Joshua, in the middle of this, stood up to deliver a challenge from the Lord. And the challenge was that God wanted them to dedicate themselves to His work. He didn't want them to try to live for God on one hand and play around with the gods of the land and that they had become a part of. He wanted a wholehearted dedication. And this was Joshua's clear message. He said, "Fear the Lord. Choose you this day who you will serve. You can serve the gods of this land or the gods of Egypt, or you can serve the one true God. It's your choice." Look at somebody and tell them, "It's your choice. It's your choice." But Joshua helped him out just a little bit. He said, "As for me and my house, let me just tell you what I'm going to do. I've told you what you need to do. Now let me tell you what I'm going to do. As for me and my house, we've got our mind made up. We've made the choice. We've made the decision. We're going to live for God. We're going to serve God. We're going to do it in Jesus' name." Is there a Joshua here tonight that would stand to your feet and you would proclaim to God, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord"? You know, the time of straddling the fence is over. You can't serve two masters because you'll love one and despise the other. You've got to have one master, one God. And in Romans, the scriptures tell us that who you yield yourself to, that's who your God is. And that's whoever you obey, that's who your God is. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands and love Him? Is anybody here want to make a decision? Want to make a decision? I believe most of us here tonight have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I see mainly home folks here tonight. So the decision that God is challenging you with is, am I going to serve Him with my whole heart? Am I going to get behind the man of God and the kingdom of God? Am I going to serve the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Elijah on Mount Carmel said it like this: "How long halt you between two opinions? You've straddled the fence long enough. It's time to serve the Lord." Would you lift your hands? Would you love Him? If you feel like coming around the altar tonight, why don't you do that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Why don't you come and commit yourself to the Lord? God is getting ready to do some great things in revival in this church. God's going to need every hand on deck. God's going to need everyone involved serving Him. Hallelujah. Would you say yes to the Lord tonight? Will your decision be, "Yes, Lord, whatever you want me to do, my choice is for you tonight"? Hallelujah. I'll say yes, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to say yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. I will trust. don't you lay hands on somebody close by you and pray for them. Encourage them in the Holy Ghost. Lift one another up in prayer tonight. Amen. Tell them, if I can do it, you can do it. If you can do it, I can do it. We can do it together. We can make the decision together to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to say yes, Jesus. I'm going to serve you with my whole heart, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My answer is yes. Oh, hallelujah. Sing it again. Thank you, Jesus. I'll say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. As I sing it one more time, why don't you lift your hands again and tell the Lord, yes. Tell the Lord, I'll say yes, Lord. Here I am, God. Send me. Hallelujah. I'm ready, God, to do what you want to do in my life. My choice is to serve you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 It's time to move up. It's time to move forward. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give the Lord another hand of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to say yes to God. I'm going to say yes to Him. Hallelujah. God bless you tonight. Appreciate you being in the house of the Lord. Amen. God bless you for being faithful to God's house. If you're involved in the youth, there'll be a meeting immediately after service in the prayer room for the youth. Remember, Saturday, if you're involved in the outreach team, come and meet here Saturday at 2 o'clock to pass out tracts. God bless you in the name of Jesus.